Oh, my. Psalm chapter 80. He said, boy, it's good to have you back with us this evening. I look forward to being here tonight, and I pray that that you did too. Psalm chapter 87, as we continue our study through the book of Psalms. We'll go ahead and give you the title, the outline, and what's all about, and then we'll go ahead and get into the book. Number one, the title, we're going to title it The City of God. The City of God. The City of God. So if you're taking notes in your Bible, right at the top of the chapter, write The City of God. The reason why that is you'll look, verse 3, glorious things are spoken of thee, O City of God. Verse 2, the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. So the subject of it, or the topic of it, is Zion, or Jerusalem, the City of God, and that's the reason why we give it that title. Let me go ahead and give you the outline to it. Verses 1 and 2 is the favor of Zion, the favor of Zion. Verse 3, the glory of Zion. And verses 4 through 7, the citizens of Zion. Verses 4 through 7. You got that? Let me give it to you again. Verses 1 and 2, the favor of Zion. Verse 3, the glory of Zion. And verses 4 through 7, the citizens of Zion, okay? Now, I believe the language, as we look at the language, we'll tell you what's going to happen. I think the language in the first couple verses is speaking of earthly Jerusalem. Then I think the language broadens. I think the language broadens. And then it's speaking of heavenly Jerusalem. Remember, there is earthly Jerusalem. And there's also heavenly Jerusalem. Or, you know, we sing that. We'll probably sing it tonight after we're done. We're marching to Zion. So, earthly Jerusalem, then I think it'll broaden to heavenly Jerusalem, okay? So let me go ahead and read verse 1 and let this have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless our services. It says, His foundation is in the holy mountains. Let's go ahead and read verse 2. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful this evening for the people that have come out to your house to worship. We're thankful for the blood of the Lord Jesus that's cleansed us from all of our sin. We're thankful for your grace and your mercy and your love. And Lord, we pray that you would come in amongst us this evening and fill this place with your presence. And we pray that you would take what is said and done here this evening and bless the hearts of your people with it. And when we leave here and when we're done, that we can honestly say that this has been a good place to be, Lord, because you were here. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. All right, now in the first verse it says His foundation is in the holy mountains. Now, of course, Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem was surrounded by mountains. And, of course, inside the city there was several hills. But one of those hills was Mount Moriah. And it was particularly, and I think that's what it's particularly speaking of here, His foundation was in the holy hills, but in particularly, His foundation was on Mount Moriah. Now, you'll remember Mount Moriah in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis 22, was a mountain where Abraham took his son Isaac. You remember God told him to take his son there and offer him as a sacrifice. In later times, the Lord set His foundation there. The foundation to what? That's where His temple was at. The house of God was there. He said in the Old Testament scriptures, the book of Deuteronomy, that He was going to choose a place to set His name in Israel. And that place that He chose was the holy city, Jerusalem. That's why it was called. You know why it was called the holy city, don't you? Because the temple was there. And God was viewed as living in the holy of holies. So since they called it the holy mount, and then they called it Mount Zion, and it was called the holy city because God was it was called by His name. It's called the city of God. So He set His foundations there. He set the foundation. And I think that's what it's referring to. He set His foundation, His house there in Jerusalem. Now, of course, that site today is still there. but there's not no temple there. What is there? The Dome of the Rock is there. A big Muslim mosque is there. So, but this time, it was the foundation for his temple was there. Now, does everybody in the house know what the temple message was? Well, you know, at the temple, there was a message that was taught in a picture form. You know what it was? Salvation by the blood. That's what you seen when you went there. You realize every morning and every evening, there was a lamb offered there at the temple. Not only was there a bunch of other offerings offered there, but every morning the priest offered a lamb. Every evening on the Sabbath, I believe they offered two. And on feast days, they'd offer seven. So when you went there, you seen lambs being offered all the time. Lamb's blood's being shed. Why was that? It pictured the forecoming Lamb of God who would go to the cross of Calvary and shed his blood for our sins. You remember when John the Baptist seen him, what he said? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, Gentile as well as Jew. So the temple message was salvation by the blood. So he set his foundation. And was that city blessed because God's house was there? Indeed it was. Indeed it was. Now, if you come down to the day, of course, the Lord established a church, an institution called the church, to spread his gospel, to administer his ordinances, and to teach his people. Folks, are we blessed to have a church? We sure are. We got a place to where we can come aside from the world and sit down as a group and worship our God and think about imperfect freedom. Now, that's rare if you look at history. That's really kind of rare with all the persecution. And even in the world today in many places, there is persecution. I was seeing the other day, there's a preacher in Korea that they're looking to put to death because he is a Christian. He was an evangelist that was preaching. He used to be a Korean soldier, and they're wanting to put him to death because he is a what? Because he's a Christian. In many parts of the world, you do indeed have that today. So we're so blessed to have the house of God here. And you know the church, you know the distinguishing mark of the Lord's church is the same as the temples. Salvation by the blood. Solely by the blood. And that's a salvation by grace through faith. Solely in the blood of Christ has always been and always will be the distinguishing mark of the Lord's church. Always, you can even go to the temple. That's what it taught and that's what you see. That's what you see here today. So that's what it means in verse 1. The foundation is in the holy mountains. He's saying that's why we're talking about how the favor of Zion, God favored this city, and he placed his place of worship there. And that's a blessing, isn't it? We need to thank God every day that we have a place of worship, a place that we can come into and worship and serve and be taught the Word of God. Aren't you glad the Lord's given us this place where we can come and do that? All right, now it says in verse 2, the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Now there was a lot of, you know, it uses the term Jacob, but what's it speaking of? What's the other name for Jacob? Israel. He loved Zion. He loved Jerusalem more than any other place. In other words, God's favorite place in Israel. Let me put it that way. God's favorite place in Israel was Mount Zion, was Jerusalem. And you know why that is, I believe? That's where his people came to worship. That's where his people gathered at to sing praises to him and to worship him. Now, certainly people are to worship at home. Do you agree? People are to worship at home. But in Israel, the people were also required to come to the established place of worship on occasions at Jerusalem. Now, we're to worship at home, are we not? And I pray that you do worship by praying and studying and maybe singing, you know, at home. I pray that you worship the Lord at home, spend time with the Lord at home. But you're also to come to the established place. He established an institution, a place called the church. And it's the pillar and ground of the truth. It holds up the truth of the Word of God. It's a teaching institution. Jesus established it, and you need to come to it, see. You're to worship at home, too. But you're to come at the appointed times, to the appointed place, so that you can worship the Lord. So the Lord loved this because this was the place where His people gathered to worship Him. Turn to Psalms chapter 147. Psalms 147. Sometimes you truly don't realize, but the Lord takes pleasure in His people. And He takes pleasure in His people worshiping Him and singing to Him. When you're singing a song to Him from your heart, it's like a sweet smell to Him. When you're worshiping Him and enjoying His Word as it's being preached, it's just like a sweet smell to Him. He enjoys it. Psalms 147, I believe it's verse 11 and 12. Notice what it says, "The Lord takes pleasure in them that fear Him, in those that hope in His mercy." It says the Lord takes pleasure in His people. And it goes on to say, "Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion." So He set His foundation there in the mountain. That's where His place was at. His worship place was at. And He says in Psalms 87 that He loved that more than any. That was His favorite place in Israel because that's where His people gathered to worship. All God's people said. Now, can you imagine, I thought as I read about that and studied about that, I wondered if the Lord loves this place here. I wonder if the Lord loves this place here. I wonder if it could be said, you know, it says He loved the gates of Zion. I wondered if the Lord loves the doors of Elizabeth because this is where His truth is taught. This is a place where His Son is honored. This is where the blood is preached. This is where grace is preached. This is where His people assemble to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Man, that's something to think about, isn't it? He loved Jerusalem because His name was there. But because that was the place where His people gathered to worship Him. And I think anytime God's people gather in His churches to worship, I think the Lord takes pleasure in that. And I think that's on earth, His favorite places. See? You think for a moment, what would be the Lord's favorite place? It would be His places where His people gather to worship Him. And that's indeed what it was in Jerusalem. Verse 3. Now, I think verses 1 and 2 is talking about earthly Jerusalem. But I think in verse 3, I think the language starts to broaden. And we're going to look at some of it. It says, "Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God." Now, indeed, there are glorious things spoken of Jerusalem in the Scriptures. If you go into the prophets, and we're going to go into one just now, and we're going to go into the one that I taught through for 2.5 years. We're going to go through the book of Isaiah. But there's some glorious prophecies of Scripture in the book of Isaiah concerning Jerusalem. But as we look at them, you have to ask yourself, is it talking about earthly Jerusalem or is it talking about heavenly Jerusalem? That's what you have to ask yourself. Now, I'll let you make that decision as we look at them. You ready to look at some of them? Let's look at the book of Isaiah. Now, there's a bunch of them we could look at, but I just picked out a few for you this evening. Let's turn to the book of Isaiah now. But keep your place there. We're coming back. Let's look at some of these glorious prophecies of Scripture concerning Jerusalem. Glorious prophecies of Scripture. I'm going to skip you around. I'm going to be in Isaiah, but as usual, I didn't go in order. I just went by how I know them in my mind, so you can put them in order in your notebook later. Now, as I said, these prophecies, you have to decide whether it's talking about earthly Jerusalem or heavenly Jerusalem. That's what you have to determine. I think a lot of the prophecies in the prophets is fulfilled in New Jerusalem. And I think the language in the text makes those things clear. Okay, let's look at them. Isaiah in chapter, did I say 35 first? Isaiah 33? Well, that's what I thought. Isaiah chapter 35. Pretty well knew I didn't say anything. Isaiah chapter 35. All right, let's look at verse 10. It says, the ransomed of the Lord. What's the word ransomed mean? Bought. Hold somebody for redeemed. Redeemed. You were ransomed. It wasn't like you was kidnapped, but you was in bondage. You were under the bondage under a sin debt. And you know who paid the ransom to set you free, don't you? Jesus did. Yeah, so you're ransomed. Now it says the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion. It says the ransomed, the redeemed, one day will come to Zion. They're going to come with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness. What about sorrow? And sorrow and sighing shall flee away. So that basically means no more sadness, no more sorrow. Now, I think that's fulfilled in only one Jerusalem. If you turn to the book of, I don't have to turn there, but you realize in Revelations 21, it's talking about New Jerusalem, and we know that it says there, without us turning there, that there'll be no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sickness, no more pain, none of all these things. So I think Isaiah 35:10 is a prophecy of a glorious thing concerning Jerusalem, but I think it's New Jerusalem. Okay? All right. Let me show you some more. Chapter 33 of the book of Isaiah. And we could look at a lot of these, but because they're so wonderful. you can mark them and look at them later, because I think the ultimate fulfillment is not in earthly Jerusalem, but in New Jerusalem. Okay? All right. Isaiah 33, let's look at a few more. Verse 20. Look upon Zion. So we're talking about Jerusalem again. The city of our solemnities. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem a quiet habitation. Thine eyes shall see Jerusalem a quiet habitation. Tabernacle that shall not be taken down. A what? A tabernacle that will not be taken down. Of course, they went back from the Babylonian captivity. They rebuilt the temple, didn't they? The Romans destroyed that in 70 AD. This is speaking of a tabernacle that will not be taken down. You'll remember in the book of Revelation chapter 21 what the Lord says about New Jerusalem. I saw no temple there. For the Lord God and the Lamb is the temple of it. So which Jerusalem are we talking about now? New Jerusalem. That's the only place where there's going to be a tabernacle. It's not going to be taken down. See, I think it fits that. I believe it does. All right, verse 21. But there the glorious Lord will be a place of broad rivers and streams, wherein shall no galley with oars, neither shall a gallant ship pass thereby. For the Lord is our judge, and the Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us. Look at verse 24. Now, again, we're talking about what? We're talking about Zion. This is another glorious prophecy, Brother Doug. Look at verse 24 and tell me this ain't a glorious prophecy. Look what verse 24 of Isaiah 33 says. The inhabitant of Zion, notice what it says, the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. That's a glorious prophecy. Would y'all agree? This is a glorious prophecy. It said, glorious things are said of thee in the Psalms. What's glory? Is that a glorious thing? The inhabitants of Jerusalem will never say that they're sick. That only fits one, Brother Mike. That only fits the one Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, in Revelation chapter 21. I believe. There'll be no sickness there. See, a lot of these prophecies have their fulfillment in New Jerusalem. Okay? You want to look at a few more? Boy, I love to look at them. It don't hurt me a bit. Let's turn to the book of Isaiah now. And chapter 60, I believe is the right one. Chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. And we're going to look at verse... I'll have to find the right one. We're going to look at verse 18. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 18. Now, I want you to get the context again of what we're talking about. If you'll look up at the latter of stages of verse 14, it says, "The city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel." So who are we talking about? Again, we're talking about a prophecy concerning Zion. Got it again? All right, now let's look at what it says. Let's look at verse 18. "Violence shall no more be heard in thy land." Now, that certainly don't fit the Middle Eastern Jerusalem, does it? But this is a prophecy that there would be a time in Zion where there'd be no more violence. No more violence whatsoever. And no more violence in the land, wasting, nor destruction within thy borders. Now, look at verse 19. "The sun shall be no more thy light by day." The sun shall no more be thy light. "Neither for the brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light. Thy God, thy glory. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended." Which Jerusalem that's talking about? New Jerusalem. You can read in the book of Revelation chapter 21 that the Lamb becomes the light. So you see, I think I've made my point. I could show you many others. Glorious things are spoken of thee. And I think indeed, when it's talking about a place where there's no sickness, no sadness, no war, perfect peace, and all of these things, I think that fits only one Jerusalem, and I think that is New Jerusalem or Heavenly Jerusalem. Let's turn back to Psalms 87. Everybody see it? Psalms chapter 87. All right, now let's go ahead. We said his foundation is in the holy mountains. That's where he set, of course, that God's favor was on Jerusalem. "The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob." You see, he put his favor upon on Mount Zion. I think that's earthly Jerusalem there. But then when we come into verse 3, and it talks about the glorious things that are spoken, and I just use you some examples in the prophets, I think that broadens to New Jerusalem. And I think that's when the fulfillment of that happens. Okay? Now, let's talk about the citizens. Let's talk about the citizens of Zion, the citizens of Jerusalem. Now, y'all notice I got two other Bibles with me, two other translations, and I think that when I read from them, it makes a little bit better sense of the text. But let's go ahead and look at verse 4. It says, "I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon." Now, Rahab is Egypt. It's the word for Egypt. It's used in the book of Isaiah. You might have a note there in your Bible. But Rahab is just another name for Egypt. It's not talking about the Rahab in the other scriptures, but this is talking about the nation of Egypt. It says, "I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them, that know me. It's talking about a people that knows him. Now, I believe who's that referring that knows him is people from Egypt and people from Babylon. I think that's what that means, and I'm going to show you here in just a little bit. "Behold, Philistia and Tyre and Ethiopia, this was born there." Now, it sounds confusing, doesn't it? But it mentions these different nations, and what I want to point out is these nations were Gentile nations. And you'll also, if you know a little bit about history, these nations at one time were enemies of Israel. But here, they're being recognized for having a birth in Zion. Not all of them, some of them. I think that's what it's talking about. Now let's read on. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall be established, shall establish her. And the Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there, Selah. Now what's it speaking of? Well, I'm going to read it in a Jewish Bible, the one my mother used, and I'm going to read it in an NIV, a not inspired version. I'm going to read that. Not just teasing you now. I'm just going to read it out of there, and I think that'll give you a little bit more insight into what the text means. Now, you listen to it. Listen to this out of the Jewish Bible. It says, they use the original in a lot of these things. It says, I count Rahab and Babel among those who know me. Okay? And the other nations, let me go ahead and read them out of the King James, because then I can read them better. Philistia and Tyre and Ethiopia, they will say, this one was born there. All right? And then the next verse in verse 5, in Zion will be said that this one was born in it. So I think what you have here, let me read it in the NIV now for you, those same verses, and see if you can pick up the idea of what I'm trying to tell you. It says, let me get to Psalms 87. That would be helpful instead of Psalm 79, wouldn't it? It says, I will record Rahab and Babylon among those who acknowledge me. Does everybody hear that? I will record Egypt and Babylon among those who will acknowledge me. Philistia too, and Tyre along with Cush, and will say, this one was born in Zion. Indeed, of Zion it will be said, this one and that one was born in her. All right, now let's go back and let's think about what they're saying. Here you have a mention of all these Gentile nations who at one time were enemies of Israel. And here you have a picture of a people among them nations that it will be said that they were born in Zion. Now, how would they be born in Zion? You know what I think this is? I think it's a prophecy out in the future of the conversion of the Gentile. I think that's exactly what it's referring to. And many other of the writers I read after think that's what it's referring to. Now, they might have had a birth in Egypt, physical birth, but they had a new birth from where? From above. They're born from above. When Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3, in verse 3, you must be born again, the word again means above. And I think it's talking about, I've been born in America. But you know, really, I've been born in Zion. How do you figure that? Well, that's where my citizenship's at. Book of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 says our citizenship is above. New Jerusalem. So I think that's what this is referring to. It's a prophecy about the coming conversion of Gentiles, and they will be recognized as being born in Zion. Which one? That one right there. Now I want to show you Galatians chapter 4. Now you turn there with me. Hey, it's not an easy text, but I think that's what it teaches, especially when you look at the language in another version, I think makes it a little bit clearer what it's saying. Galatians chapter 4. Notice what it says in it talks about earthly Jerusalem in this text, and then it talks about heavenly Jerusalem. Notice what it says. Verse 24. Which things are an allegory? For there are two covenants, one from Mount Zion, or Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Zion in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. Now, talking about in verse 25, Jerusalem, which now is, what Jerusalem's at? Earthly Jerusalem. Let me read it again. Which answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. That's earthly Jerusalem. But Jerusalem, which is above, now which Jerusalem's that? Heavenly Jerusalem. Jerusalem, which is above, is free. But what's it say about Jerusalem? The mother of us all. That's the mother city. We were born there. We were born there. So that's called the mother city. You say, wait a minute, you were born here in America, or this person was born in Egypt, or that. I've had a new birth. I'm born from above. All God's people said. Now do you see it? Worth coming just to hear that, I think. But we've had a new birth, and that's the mother city. We've been born from above. And I think that's what Psalms 87 is telling you. There's going to come a day when the Lord's going to be saving Gentiles, and they might have been from Philistia or from Egypt or Tyre, but out of them He's going to call people for His name, and He's going to give them a new birth. And they're going to be seen as men from Zion. As a matter of fact, He's even going to call them Jews. He's even going to call them Jews. Because He is a true Jew, which is not one outwardly, but He is a Jew, which is one inwardly. Book of Galatians, it says, they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Jesus said that many will come from the east and the west and the north and the south and sit down in the kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2, He says He's taken the Gentile, both Jew and Gentile, and made us one in Christ, and that we are fellow citizens. Fellow citizens. We're from the same city. From the same city. That's New Jerusalem. And you know why I'm on the subject? My name's wrote there too. My name, I got, there's a register there, which I think it talks about in Psalms 87. There's a register there. And my name's wrote there. So is yours. Trusted the blood. So is yours. Say, your name is wrote there. Everybody see that? Is that kind of opening up a little bit? I pray it opens up a little bit. I think that that's what it's referring to. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews now. Book of Hebrews. Folks, God's prepared us a city. It's the mother city. New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. I think today, and I'm not trying to sound offensive to nobody. Does everybody understand that? I'm not trying to sound offensive. People get more excited over earthly Jerusalem than they do New Jerusalem. Do you see what I'm saying? They actually get more excited. You hear more talk about earthly Jerusalem than you do New Jerusalem. You really do. I hear more about that than any other thing as far as the city, in comparison between the two cities. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about Abraham. Verse 10, it says, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is," which city is that? New Jerusalem. Talking about the patriarchs, verse 13 of Hebrews 11, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and they were persuaded of them and embraced them, and they confessed that they were pilgrims," or strangers and pilgrims on earth. They're just passing through. They're on a journey. Pilgrims going somewhere. They're on a journey. Okay? Verse 14, "For they say such things, and they declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a what? Heavenly. Wherewith God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Which one? New Jerusalem. That's the mother city. Our citizenship's there. We were born from above. Born from above. That's the city Abraham looked for. Look, Hebrews also says here, we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. What the book of Isaiah say about the great glorious thing concerning that Jerusalem? No sorrow, no sickness, no death, no war. You can see which city it's speaking of. Okay? But the glorious thing with regard to us, we that were born by birth, Gentiles, are recognized as having a birth in Zion. And I think that's what Psalms 87 teaches. That blessed me. Before I ever got here, I was ready to go because I looked at those things. I think that's what the text means. I think that's what it means. Okay? Hebrews 12. Let me show you another verse. We'll go back and start to close her out. Verse 22, but ye are come unto Mount Zion. Hebrews 12, verse 22. You're coming to Mount Zion, unto the city, unto the what? City of the living God. Isn't that what you just seen in Psalms 87? Unto the city of the living God, and the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. That's our city, folks. That's our city. Does anybody know when we're going to go to it? Well, if we die, we'll go there in spirit. But there's going to come a day, and it could happen tonight, that Jesus will come with the sound of a trumpet. Dead in Christ will rise first. Be reunited with their souls, I believe, in the clouds. And then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds. Then where are they going to go? Yeah, if you remember Revelation chapter 7, which I believe is the rapture, He seals them, marks them, and takes them out, and the next time you see them, they're standing on the sea of glass before the throne of God. He takes them to New Jerusalem. Okay? Now, let's turn back to Psalms 87. That's why, that's really, in all honesty, if you think about what I just said, that's why that I turned away years ago from what is called the dispensational view of the Scriptures, of the Second Coming. There's many that think that He'll take us out, but He comes back and we live here on this earth in earthly Jerusalem. For 1,000 years. You've heard that, I'm sure. That's the most popular view they are. But it never did make sense to me. Because He's taking us out at the second coming. Where's He taking us to? New Jerusalem. And you leave that and come here in the type? I wasn't able to rectify that in my mind. Now, if you can, that's fine. And if we'd go live in physical Jerusalem, that wouldn't bother me any. But that don't make no sense to leave the earth, to go to the heavenly one, the real one, to come and live in this one for 1,000 years. I just don't think that makes sense. Besides, when we go out at the rapture, what's He do to the earth after we've taken out? He destroys it. It just don't fit. And I never could make it fit. And when people try to tell me about the dispensational view and try to straighten me out on that, you don't have to straighten me out on that. I know it. I know what the dispensational view is. I used to believe it. Everybody believed it. And for years it was never questioned. But when you look at the Scriptures this way, It's different. Just don't seem to me to fit. That was free. Since we're looking at New Jerusalem, I thought it was very fitting to look at it now. Now keep in mind, I didn't say that to be offensive to anyone. And if you want to believe that, that's entirely fine. That don't affect our fellowship whatsoever. And if we would, just so I'm with the Master, and I know I'm going to be there, see, I won't fight with folks over that. But I just want you to think about what I just said. It don't really make a lot of sense, I don't think. All right. Verse 16, the Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there, Selah. Talks about the Lord having a register of people. And the ones that he has respect to is the ones that are born there. The ones that are born in Zion. That's his people. I think it's speaking of the Lamb's book. The what book? Lamb's book. Reading the book of Revelation 20, that he'll have one, the books will be open, and one book will be open, and it says, everyone that wasn't found written in the Lamb's book of life is cast into the lake of fire. In order to have a part in Zion, you got to be born in Zion. You got to have a new birth. You got to be purchased by the blood of the Lamb. You got to have your sin debt paid. And folks, one of the things Jesus told the disciples in Luke chapter 10, when they came back and they were rejoicing and said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us through your name. He said, don't rejoice because the demons are subject to you. Rather, rejoice because your name is written in heaven. That's something to rejoice in, because if your name's written there, the second death has no power over you whatsoever, because Jesus took all your condemnation on the cross of Calvary. You have a new birth, a new citizenship, and it's in heaven. Verse 7, we'll close. As well the singers and the players on instruments shall be there. All my springs, I think it means fountains, all my fountains will be in it. You sometimes waters of blessing. You know, I think it's what it's describing. Verse 7 is describing worship there. Singers there. You know, I think everybody will be able to sing when we get to heaven. Even people who can't sing a lick here will be able to sing when you go to heaven. And I think everybody will sing. And I think that's what's depicted in mind. Do we got reason to sing? We'll be under a perfect king. And when we're there, we'll be a perfect people. We won't have no sin. That's what I want more than anything else. What I want more than anything else is to not have no sin. That's my number one thing I want. Brother Elliot, you're like me, ain't you? I want to be able to say I have no sin. Because when we see Jesus, the Bible says that we will be like Him. Sinless. And the Lord planned that, my friends, before the foundation of this world was ever laid. That we would be conformed to the image of His Son. All God's people said, well, that's the holy city. That's the holy city. Let's all stand. Thank you for your attention this evening. I pray that the Lord blessed you. I pray that you leave better. I pray that you're leaving better than when you come in. If you're a part of that holy city, you can rejoice in that. If you're not, and you'd like to know about being saved, you need to talk to me. Say, Pastor, I want to talk to you tonight. Or Jeff, I want to talk to you about trusting the Messiah. And you can be saved tonight. Matter of fact, you don't even have to talk to me if you don't want to. If you understand right there where you're standing, the Bible says that if you'll call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. If you realize you're a sinner, then Christ died on the cross for sinners and rose again the third day, and you trust Him as your Savior, He will wash you clean from your sin. Okay? Nothing further. Brother Denver, would you dismiss us, please?